This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira, thumma amma ba'd. How can we as Muslims survive the hardships of our time? It's as simple as that. Whenever you look around, whenever you check the news, there is something depressing that happens and everything is always geared towards Muslims. Muslims, just being a Muslim by itself is it's a big challenge this day. A generation, a time, a culture that praises the body culture, it praises materialism, praises of course the liberal values and so forth. All of these things is by itself is a huge pressure on you being a Muslim. Now living this in the American context, as we see today in the news, what's going on in Iraq, in Syria, with Islamophobia and so on, it's even much more, it's getting even harder and harder on us. Especially for the young ones, the hopeful ones, those who would like to start off their life, inshallah ta'ala, with the best, in the best way. The best discourse is prepared for them. How can we survive the hardship of our times? How can I live as Muslims in this society without having always to look behind my back, over my shoulder? Without having to worry about what I say and what I do? How can I even enjoy my ibadah as Muslims? I don't have to have a clash of identity or culture, being a Muslim and being American. How can I do this? Now, why do we even have this kind of increase of dissatisfaction with life, even though we almost have, or supposedly we have everything? Especially in the Muslim community. In the Americans, the Muslim Americans are considered of the most affluent, perhaps, minorities in America, and some of the richest, most wealthiest people in the world. We are lucky to be part of the 1 or 2% of the most affluent people in the world. However, you see that the quality of life is not as great as it should be, and we have so much dissatisfaction among the Muslim community, particularly the young ones. So parents, mashallah, may Allah bless them, those who migrated from different countries, or maybe they're born over here as a second generation, or there's even they converted. So these now, they did everything possible to prepare the next episode of the life of their children for them. So they didn't want them to worry about school. They didn't want them to worry about marriage. They didn't want them to worry about anything in their life. So they prepared everything for them, subhanAllah, thinking that it's going to bring a quality of life. But there's a huge increase of dissatisfaction in the life of the young ones. As a result, they have these kind of clash, or an emotional clash between who they are and what they want in this life. They were not trained to even to think for themselves because their parents already thought about everything for them. So for that reason, they don't even know what they want in life anymore. We are raising a generation of frustrated and angry young men and women. Adding to that is the dilemma in marriages. When we tell them that marriage is important for you, it's half of your deen and you have to do this not to fall into the haram and so on, and then we put all these obstacles on the way for them to do it the halal way. And now we make it even harder and harder when it becomes cultural, which is defying what they grow up to become, American Muslims. So some more pressure now is falling on these young men and women. They're supposed to have it all. But they're not happy with what they have. They're very dissatisfied. And the dissatisfaction, as much as we try to convince them to enjoy life, they're not enjoying it anymore. SubhanAllah, one of the reasons I want to share with you that many of these young men and women today, as we have seen on the news and we read on also on the internet, they have tried to take shortcuts to Jannah. They want to take shortcuts to Jannah. They want to quit life. Some of them want to go to Syria to fight. Some of them want to go to Iraq. Some of them want to do other things and so on, thinking that this is a smart thing to do. And they defy the authority of their leaders, of their imams, of their ulama, of their scholars, because they think that they know better. They're building now their way. They cannot stand the hardships of life, so they want to take shortcuts. How can we make sure that these young men and women, they grow up, inshallah, in a sound environment, and what can we do about this? But I want to, first of all, I would like to understand the reason why we're going through this now, feeling of dissatisfaction in our lives. Number one, the center of life moved from the human being into materialism and things. Like in our life today, if you look at what exactly you value yourself with, is what you have, not who you are. Some people, they walk around, the most expensive value they have is the clothes on their body. But what do they represent as human beings? Absolutely nothing. They're way behind. So we're moving right now that concept of value from the human being to materialism, to things. And as a result, if you don't have it, there's no value for you in this life. Many of these young men and women, they would like to have all these things that you tell them to that they have value. And as a result, they are not satisfied. Whatever they achieve, it's not sufficient. And by the way, just to give parents a kind of perspective on things. So some children, they grow up in the household and they want to become imams. You see, I come from Dallas. Dallas, alhamdulillah, well-known right now for having many of these national speakers live in the same city. We have Al-Bayyin Institute, you have Qalam Institute. So many people, they migrate from other states to come to Dallas so they can study Arabic language, Islamic studies, and so on. They have all these imams and shuyukh and so on. But then you have many of these people, they come and they defied their parents in coming to the city. I said, why? Well, I would like to study Arabic language, but my parents want me to go overseas to study so-and-so, to the Caribbean, to become a doctor. So there's a huge challenge right now. The standard of value is shifting and changing. And even some other students, they come to Dallas to study Arabic language, Islamic studies, for another year on Qalam Institute. Why is that? Because they've already achieved what their parents want them to do, like finishing their bachelor's degree or medical degree, being an engineer, a graduate of such and such school. And now at 25, 26, younger or older, they want to take 1 or 2 years off to study Islamic studies. Why is that? Because they're not satisfied with what they have achieved already. They've done it for other people. They want something valuable for themselves. We are removing the value from what our children want and what they would value in this world. And we are dictating what is most valuable to them. The second thing, many of our younger children today, they lack the basic training of surviving in this life. What I mean by basic training? Take the example of marriage. Let's go to education first. When it comes to education, I mean, we assume, I don't know how many of you have seen these pictures, these images, when they show you students going to different schools or different part of the world. Some kids who are in elementary level, they cross rivers, they cross mountains, they ride on the back of cows and bulls and camels and whatever, just to go and study. Maybe you've seen these pictures, and you admire them for that, like, wow, they're suspending in the air, subhanAllah, and just, you know, if that bridge is cut off, they're done. But they still go every day to go and study. So these kids, they learn that the value of learning is not just sitting there and take the information. No, the effort is done into it also matters. For us, we don't give our children any sense of challenge when it comes to education. No, we want them to be the most comfortable. Because we think when they're the most comfortable, they'll study better. They might actually do so, and they might excel in terms of grades, but in terms of social skills, life skills, they become very poor. So that's why when they go to college, some of them don't even know how to handle college because they don't even know how to make decisions on what they want to study. And I have so many young men and women, they come to me and they say, now that I'm done with my first year in school, what do you think I should do? And I say, what do you want to do? He says, I don't know. What do you think I should do? I say, Allah, what do you want to do? I mean, I can answer this question for you, but I know where it's coming from. They've never been given the skill of making these decisions, these choices. Similarly, when it comes to marriage, we don't prepare our kids to get married. We want them to get married when we decide they're ready for marriage. So these kids don't make any effort to prepare themselves. It seems that we are associating the maturity level with the education level. When my child finishes school, they're ready for marriage. So therefore, just finish school. Okay, while I'm finishing school, how am I going to live my life? Your parents will take care of you. I remember on one occasion, I traveled still for Al-Maghrib Institute, one of those occasions, when I arrived in the city, a young man came. Testing? Okay, alhamdulillah. Some people, perhaps maybe they know what city is that, so they want to cut the name of the city on. I'm not going to mention the city name, don't worry about it. So when I arrived in that city, a young man came and picked me up. He was maybe around 19, 20 years old, mashallah, and he was driving the latest BMW edition. I got into the car and I'm, mashallah, mashallah. You don't want to leave. So I said, mashallah, and I know he's still in college, basically. I said, mashallah, who's this car? He goes, it's mine. I'm like, mashallah. I says, where you got it from? He goes, my dad bought it from me. I said, can your dad adopt me? But then I told him, I said, seriously, I said, you really think your dad bought it for you? He goes, what do you mean? He did. It's mine. I said, no, you need to understand. Your dad bought it for himself. I said, how come? He said, because your dad, which I know who that was, and I said, your dad doesn't want the people in the community say that the son of XYZ is driving a crappy car. That's why he's buying you a fancy car right now. When you buy these cars for your children who are still freshmen in college, and they're driving their old, or they're driving their dream cars today, what motivation you left for them to finish school? What else that they're going to need to be challenged for? No wonder they get lost, they don't know how direction, and then they start going to all these websites and start, you know, looking for meaning for themselves. Something that is meaningful to them outside of this material world. And when they have somebody telling them that Jannah is there for you, and they just follow this because they think this is the right direction, they make bad decisions. Wrong decisions. It's extremely dangerous. Living that comfortable life, subhanAllah, can't be that dangerous, specifically for us over here. I remember reading that Ali Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, he saw the heels of his son, they were very soft. He looked at him and he goes, قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ خَشَوْشِنُ فَإِنَّ النِّعْمَةَ لَا تَدُومُ. He says, roughen up a little bit, son. Because this ni'mah, this blessing, don't last forever. Which means sometimes you have to go through the process in order for you to enjoy life and alhamdulillah, do the right thing. Training. Our children don't have the basic training. Even when it comes to the subject of marriage. We have them take all these exams and all these trainings and all this education for them so they can be certified in a certain profession. But when it comes to the profession for life, like marriage, the skill to be a successful husband and wife, we don't invest that much in it. I run actually a counseling and services as well. People, they say that it's expensive. I said, you wait for divorce, wait for you see divorce, how much expensive it's going to be. Because without training for marriage, there is a high rate of divorce. I have statistics, and I deal with these cases. Regardless of what background they are, how wealthy or poor they are, it doesn't matter. It has to be skills. Our kids don't have the skills to learn how to live this life. We're not equipping them with these things. We're giving them life so comfortable, so easy. You don't have to worry about anything. Just finish school, finish education, do this, don't do that. We'll take care of everything for you. As a result, they feel lost. And when they start looking for meaning, they might go to the wrong direction. Another thing that causes them to be so depressed and dissatisfied with this life, looking into the affairs of this world. I mean, subhanAllah, obviously, when you look into what's going on in Syria and you see the people are even willing to die, they're riding what I call the arcs of death. These arcs of death and the ships and the boats of death, they know that's not even a 50-50 chance anymore. With the high rate of mortality and death during this season when the weather is changing, the climate is changing, people know it's perhaps maybe it's 30% survive, 70% death, they're still taking chances. Whenever you see what's going on to the Muslims in Iraq or in Bangladesh or Rohingya or even anywhere in the world, when you look at that, many Muslims, they feel, subhanAllah, helpless and hopeless, especially living here in America. I know a brother who came as a refugee over here. Allah blessed him with this status. He came to this country. He got married. He sought asylum and he got it and he just lived his life over here. But until now, he's still struggling with his marriage and his life. Why is that? Because he's feeling guilty that he's having it comfortably here while his family is still suffering there. So they have this now, they're feeling guilty being alive, feeling guilty that having everything, alhamdulillah, given to them, you know, on a golden plate. They're just guilty at it. Why do you have to feel guilty? If Allah bless you with this, use it for the best you can, inshallah, tabarakah wa ta'ala. You don't have to feel guilty that you're, alhamdulillah, you're wealthy. You don't have to feel guilty because you have education, because you have a community, you have a house, you have a roof over your head. You don't have to feel guilty for that. Instead, use it, this ni'mah, and be grateful for this ni'mah, and then take it to the next level with the people. That you try to help them in the way that, inshallah, ta'ala, you can, bidnillahi azza wa jal. So these young men and women, when they see the condition of the world, and they see that political leaders, religious leaders are not moving anywhere, not doing anything about it, they start kind of feeling that they've been betrayed, they get upset, they get angry, and eventually some of them, they might decide to leave Islam, and others perhaps would go and make that radical decision and make the wrong actually choice. Many of our brothers and sisters, the young ones today, what they do, they romanticize the past. So every time we hear a situation that is happening, they always bring you examples like Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, like, where are you guys from these people? Well, I would answer this question like Ali ibn Abi Talib when he answered some people who came to him. After the battle of Suffin, a man came to Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, why did the people like disagree on you when they have agreed on men like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and Umar? Like telling Ali, you are the problem. Because Abu Bakr didn't have a problem, Umar didn't have a problem. How come the people, they fight now over you, and they didn't do that with Abu Bakr and Umar? What was the answer of Ali radiallahu ta'ala? He said to him, because the people of Umar and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq were Ali ibn Abi Talib and people like me. And my people are you and people like you. So sometimes the reason we're going through all this dilemma in our lives is because of our actions. It's us. The choices we make as a community can lead to this result. There are not so many people in our Muslim communities. As an imam, I've been an imam in this country for the past 15 years. I've seen almost everything, from small masajid to big masajid to big community, small community, subhanAllah. When it comes to giving suggestions and feedback, tabarakAllah, we're all experts. We're all experts. When it comes to give me your hand so we can work this together, wallahi, I'm too busy, but can we ask for volunteers, please? That's how we do it in our Muslim community. There are few people who take initiatives, and when they do, they get discouraged by the local communities. And that's why these kids, they start making their own choices and taking their own decision on their own. It's extremely dangerous. If we don't give them the opportunity, if we don't provide these channels for them, where they can use their talents and skills and energy and ilm and knowledge and so on, they are going to find their ways. If we don't give them the chance and lead them through it, they're going to find their ways. And another thing also, it's a matter of, you know, neglect from the Muslim community. If you ask any Muslim community what they like the most, usually most parents complain about the lack of youth programs, children programs. So they always wait for someone to do the job. They don't get together to sacrifice their time and effort so we can make it happen, inshallah ta'ala. But we all agree on one thing. There is so much neglect in this area. And whenever we do something, it's chaotic. We don't have any organized system, except for a few, alhamdulillah, successful community. Fadlallahi azza wa jal. But the thing is that because of all of this, our young men and women, they lack that purpose in life. They don't see a meaning to their lives anymore. And as a result, they'll be looking somewhere on the internet to find a special meaning for their lives. And if they go to the wrong websites, definitely the results will be catastrophic. And here's my advice, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, how can we make things easy for them? Number one, as parents as well, that also applies to us as parents, is that we need to get our kids ready from a very young age. You don't have to tailor life for them. Like many families, they're, mashallah, they're very actually kind of micromanage the life of their children and everything. Even what they need to have for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, nothing. What they wear, what they drive, everything. That's not right, Jama'ah. What we need to do, we need to have our children grow up, inshallah, to become healthy human beings. I mean, I was just asked before I came over here by a sister, how can I raise my children? Give me a plan, a program. What is it do I need to make sure that my kids, inshallah, will grow up to become, you know, good Muslims? I said, why are you so terrified right now? It's now because you have children. Suddenly you realize, oh my God, now I know that the world is not as rosy as I used to think it was. So I need a plan for this. I said, there is no plan. I can't give you any plan. Just make sure when you raise your children, you raise healthy human beings who have spirituality, who have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the ulama was asked, how come the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they did little and they get so much reward? But us, look what we're doing. We're struggling and everything. We have a whole schedule program for everything. When you wake up in the morning, what do you say of the adhkar and dua? And we finish your salat al-fajr. And after fajr, what do you say? Until you go and you pray salat al-duha. We have everything prepared for us. But then, subhanAllah, we can't even catch up. How come they've done little and they have so much greater of good deeds? Also, when it comes to ilm, how much the sahaba they had of the ilm in terms of the quantity of it? Versus us today, subhanAllah, that the tip of your finger, you have access to thousands of libraries in the world. Millions and billions of pages of knowledge. But the quality of ilm is very, very low. He said, because صَلُحَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. These people, they have good hearts. Which means when their heart, when intentions they're good, everything became perfect afterwards. We work so hard in making sure our kids know how to recite Alif Ba'ta, the Baghdadi and the Nuraniya. We so hard that they need to memorize the Quran from cover to cover. And they can lead the Taraweeh without mistakes sometimes. We make sure their kids are doing all these religious duties. But how often do we sit down with our kids and talk about their good intentions? Whatever they do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of us kind of dividing goals for our children, for ourselves, I want you to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on defining your goal in life in one thing. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahidan hamma al-ma'ad kafahu Allahu sa'ira humumih." Whoever makes his main concern, hamma al-ma'ad, the concern for the hereafter, Allah azza wa jalla will take care of all their concerns in this dunya. And wallahi, it is true. It is absolutely true. This is just like the example I've been given for many, many times, you know, even just in the morning. The difference between being happy and being content. We struggle so much doing many things so we can feel happy. But as much as we do, we feel less happy, less satisfied in this life. Why is that? Because we don't have the right intention, the right way of doing it. Instead, you need to be content. Once you're content, if your goal is to be content with whatever Allah has given you, after you do your part, you'll always be happy. Similarly, what I want for my dear young brothers and sisters is that you're not required to solve the problem of the world. But you need to do what you can do in your position in this life, inshallah ta'ala. And whatever that you do it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Make your biggest concern, your goal, is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you do so, you would realize anything that you do, whether if it's activism, in the masjid, at home, outside in the street, if you always have your concern to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it makes things easy for you. And whatever happens, because you submit to the will of Allah, because you did your best, you'll always be content, you'll always be happy. You will never be dissatisfied with this life. And you know that you can do as much. So whenever you do your part, alhamdulillah, results are in the hand of Allah Azza wa Jal. The next thing is whenever, for the young men and women today, instead of working on these big goals that we want to achieve, I want you to start actually achieving little goals one at a time. Just little goals one at a time. So for example, people, they tell me after Ramadan, what should I do? Ramadan is over. I did all these great things. What can I do to keep momentum? I said, what is the best thing you enjoyed in the month of Ramadan? Just one thing. Someone says, you know what? I enjoyed waking up for Fajr every single day. I said, just don't worry about anything else. Just do this. How about fasting Mondays and Thursdays? Just forget about that now. Just focus on this. Why is that? SubhanAllah, there's something in the culture of habits. It's just like this habit is like a master habit. If you're gonna have this, if you master this part, it has this domino effect on everything on you. So if someone decides to do Qiyamul Layl, Fajr Salah, Adhkar, everything all together, you will fail. But if you decide on one thing, just work on one thing. I want you just to work on one thing. This is to pray Fajr every day on time. That's it. I guarantee you, it will change your lifestyle completely. You're going to become even active in other areas in life, like exercising, even dieting, whatever. Just start with one single thing, inshallah ta'ala. And when you do that activity of waking up for Fajr, inshallah ta'ala, make it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, on a personal level, Here are a few things I want you to take care of, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, time management. The young ones, they waste so much time that no wonder the Prophet ﷺ says, of the five things we're going to be asked about when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, your lifetime, and then he said, your youthful time. So your age, how long you lived, and how much you spend this for the sake of Allah, and that youthful age, what did you do with that? Today we lose time in so many things, and the number one distraction, which is considered, you know, subhanAllah, a blessing and at the same time a curse. The mobile phones are, subhanAllah, it's a, I don't know if you call it, yani, blessings or a curse. For some, it is. And when it comes to those who are married, you know what I'm talking about, right? This sometimes becomes, yani, Allah musta'an, the worst thing you brought to your life, to your children and to your family. It can be dangerous. Time management. I'm not going to give you now the details on how to manage your time, but this is something you're going to have to look into it. You have to make sure that you use your time wisely, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. When it comes to patience, a quality our young brothers and sisters, they lost actually because of the culture of all based on instant gratification, drive-through culture, all is being, you know, do everything online instead of doing it in line. It's very important that you provide yourself with time in order to achieve things. Rasulullah ﷺ told Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda. He said to him, وَمَا أُوتِيَ أَحَدٌ عَطَاءً أَنْفَعَ وَلَا أَوْسَعَ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. No one has ever been given ata, which means a gift of a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal, better than patience. Our younger generation, they're growing up less patient every single day because they feel entitled to everything. And if they don't get what they want, unfortunately, they have adopted the habit of doing it on their own. That's why you see many of them, you know, making these bad decisions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq and guidance. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put guidance in the hearts of our young ones and our older ones. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for them in this dunya and the akhirah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.